12 years ago when we met, and I didn't know you prayed that, but all I knew is I wanted to be your friend. And I'm glad God made you my friend. And I'm glad for what God's done here, and then he's knit our heart with this fella here. Brother, it's been 11 years of joy, man. I'm telling you, we have surely enjoyed God together. And that's what I like to do, is enjoy God. If you don't enjoy God, I don't know what you got, amen. You better get a different God. Because the real God, he likes to enjoy fellowship with his people. And showing up among his people and manifesting himself to his people. And I don't know anything different. When I got saved, I didn't have to unlearn any religion. I wasn't a Catholic. I wasn't a Lutheran. I wasn't a Methodist. In fact, I wasn't even a Baptist. Amen. I was a nothing but a heathen. And when I got saved, I got into a church where the pastor had been trained in what one fellow friend of mine calls the Alexandrian mind, but he had an Antioch heart. Amen. He had a heart for that King James Bible. And he'd wave that book and he'd say, "This book is your final authority in all matters of faith and practice." And he'd stress it again. He'd say, "Faith and practice." And man, I got that. And I got transferred in the military out west. And I found a whole bunch of folks that they claimed that they used the King James Bible. They didn't believe it. Amen. I got myself in a real pickle in a couple places because I believed it. I was just, I don't know what, simple enough, country enough to believe it when the pastor said it, and I was reading it. One year for Christmas, my sister-in-law bought us NIV paperbacks, my wife and I, and we took them to church. I opened them, the pastor read his text, and I looked at my wife, and I looked at her, and she looked at me, and we looked back up there. I shut that thing, threw it down on the side of the pew. I said, "Forget that. That ain't no Bible." I didn't need a college education to figure that out, amen. Why? Because I had the teacher in here, amen. And there is a difference when you got the teacher in here, amen. Well, tonight, if you would, take your Bible to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and I'll try to be a good boy, but if I fall, just pick me up. I'll go back at it, amen. I'll probably go at it all the way down and back up. Sir, I'll try not to, but I don't make any promises, amen, that I can't keep. John chapter 12, look at verse 20 with me. "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.'" Brother Tim, would you pray?
Father, I want to thank you for the Brother Taylor's here. Well, thank you for raising him up, bringing him to us again this year. I pray to anoint him today, Lord God, with the freshness and the newness of the Holy Ghost, the words of life that he speaks. I pray our ears be open to hear, our hearts to receive the word of God. Pray, Lord God, you give him physical strength. More than that, you be his helper to stay as he preaches. Fill his mind with good things. The words of life to utter unto us. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
And these folks, they came, and among them, these Greeks came, and they came for one purpose. They came to worship. Amen. And for years, Baptists have let the charismatic steal Bible principles and call them what they're not. Amen. And worship is one of them. Just because some charismatic makes a muddy mess out of worship, that don't mean we got to stop. Amen. We can still worship our God. Why? Because our God is the true God. Amen. Brother, he's the one that spoke and there was a world. Amen. He's the one that spoke, and there was light and dark. He's the one that spoke, amen, and they were separated. He's the one that spoke, and the waters were separated. He's the one that spoke, amen, and there was a man. He's the one that spoke, amen, and made it all. That's him. Brother, he ought to be worshipped, amen. Hey, he's the one that spoke and came himself so you and I could go to him, amen. They came to worship. And, you know, they're more than likely, I mean, this is still kind of Old Testament-like here, you know. I know it's in the New Testament canon, but the testator hadn't died yet, so they're still doing things. A little bit of law mixed in there. So you know them fellas are going up there and what they're going to find. Amen. They're probably going to see some sacrifices going on. And they're going to see a few other things like that that they did in that Old Testament. And you know they had that Old Testament religion. You know, Brother Tim had said, God is in his holy temple, looking down upon the sons of men. Amen. Amen. But they don't do it that way now. God's alive, man. And he's alive in us. Amen. Brother, we've got something in us to make us go, amen. Amen. To make us get and to make us do what we ought to go and do. Amen. That's our goal. But yet folks want to sit there and sing, oh, how I love you. Like it's a funeral dirge. I don't even know what a dirge is, but they play them at funerals. I know that. Amen. Listen, man, is that your God?
Oh, no.
My God's alive.
Amen.
The God of that book is alive.
Amen.
Amen. He talks to me. He walks with me. Amen. And he tells me I am his own. I'll never forget, amen, being down there in Carolina where I got saved. Amen. And some of them fellas would get carried away in their preaching. And one fellow said one time, he said, and bless God, if you didn't pray in Jesus' name, you ain't saved. I didn't pray in Jesus' name. That's what I said right there. I could stop. I was sitting, amen, toward the back at that point. I hadn't moved up yet. But I was sitting back there and I did the only thing, Brother Harvey, I knew to do. I just talked to God about it. And I could feel that there was something changed in that service when he said that. I thought, that's weird. But God, I didn't pray in Jesus' name. And the Lord said, well, you're saved. I said, He said, just cool your jets. I'll show you when we get home. I said, okay. I got home. I walked into it. My wife and I were still separated. I got home, went to an empty house. Emptiest feeling I ever saw. I walked in there and I walked immediately to the table. I opened my Bible. I said, okay, God, I'm waiting. Show me. And took me over there where Paul testified, giving his testimony in Acts 26, I believe it is, verse 21. Testifying repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, is that what happened to you that night? I said, that's exactly what happened to me, God. He said, well, you're saved, son. He said, I don't talk to just anybody. I'm talking to you. Amen. Praise God, man. Hey, listen. Amen. They came. Hey, in all the midst of that, you know what these fellas knew? They knew, amen, that their religion wasn't good enough.
That's right.
They knew it wasn't getting them to God, amen. Amen. In the midst of all of it, hey, they're going up to worship. And brother, when you're going to worship, and worship is on your mind and on your heart, you going in there, amen, to meet with God. Amen. You come to church to meet with God or show off a new dress or a new hat.
Yeah.
Amen. You're going to meet with God, you don't let nothing get in the way.
That's right.
But all of a sudden they stop and say, sir, we would see Jesus.
Amen.
Brother, they wanted something more than they had. They wanted something that was real. They wanted something that would get down in the depths of their soul. Amen. And change their situation.
Amen.
Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Yes.
If what you got didn't change you, I question what you got.
Come on.
Ain't no such thing as a saved drunk.
That's yes, right. Sir.
My daddy was a county drunk, McKean County, Pennsylvania. When he got saved, every bar in the county knew it. He quit coming.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, brother, they say, what do you want to see? I mean, you come to church, what do you want to see? I want to see God move.
Amen.
Amen. I want to see God touch somebody. I love it when they have testimonies. Amen. Like we had around here sometimes at the end of the week. Amen. Some of them young people get up and say, man, God touched me here. God touched me there. I got saved when Brother So-and-so preached. Woo! Woo! Man, I like it.
Yeah.
Turn me loose, man. like it. And then you hear testimonies about how, amen, from amen, and it said, well, you know, we used to go home from church and the kids would be in the back seat screaming at each other. Why can't I be screaming at each other in the front seat? And now we go home and the kids want us, Daddy, can we sing Amazing Grace? Amen! There ought to be a change in you. Amen. They want to see Jesus because He's the only one can change them. They came to worship. But they some things went strange here. You know, I just want to say this. They did the best thing they knew to do.
Right.
They asked somebody that they thought could give them Jesus. Can you introduce us to this fellow Jesus? Let me ask you a question. You got enough God in you to have anybody ask you how to get to Jesus?
Yeah.
All right. Come on.
You ever had anybody walk up to you and say, sir, ma'am, could you tell me how to get to Jesus?
Come on, bro.
Amen.
It's a humbling thing, man.
Yes.
And I think it might have been, I was thinking about it this morning, I think it might have been only in Walmart. Years ago, I'd been out, I was working, and I had to go through Walmart to get some stuff on the way home. My man, I am all, you know, sawdust all over. I got bib overalls and a white t-shirt. Amen, that's what I wear when I work. And there I was walking into Walmart, and I come in there with it. Amen, there's a big wide eye. You meet the first big wide cross over there. This woman comes up to me. She said, sir, are you a preacher? Stephen, I didn't look like a preacher. I want to take my hat off, see if somebody stuck a sticky note on there and said, preacher. Because I was pastor at the time. But I just been coming from work, man. I mean, I'm all dirty. And I said, well ma'am, I'm Christian, yes, first. But yes, I am a pastor. She said, I knew you was a preacher. Would you pray for me? And right there, that where them two aisles ways met, we knelt down. I prayed for her, prayed for her family, prayed for her boys that was lost. I mean, we prayed through that thing. Amen. I got up. She said, thank you. I knew you was a preacher. Thank you for praying for me. She walked off going, like you know, God just poured over the honey bucket on her, man. I'm going, how'd she know I was a preacher? How in the world did she know I was a preacher? And the Holy Ghost said, because you look like one. That's what she said. How do I look like a preacher? Listen, I've had, amen, and I'm not trying to brag. I'm just trying to tell you it happens now. And I wish it happened more. I love telling people about Jesus, man.
Amen, brother.
Would anybody ever stop you and say, are you a Christian?
That's a question.
You got enough God to tell them yes?
Amen, brother.
And show them how to find God? Right. See? Sir! We would see Jesus. We don't care nothing about you. You look like a mighty fine fella, but we want to meet your God.
That's
good. There they were. You said the Bible says they desired Philip. I looked that up because I know there's many definitions. But the dictionary said earnestly supplicated, urgently requested, entreated. Urgently. In other words, these fellows wanted to know. They weren't just pulling cotton, man. They wanted to know. Man, we would see Jesus. Get us, Philip. You understand what we're looking for here? This is important, man. Hey, well, we got in enough to get us home, man. We got to have Jesus. Where is he? Man, you know, could you even look like you knew Jesus?
Question.
Amen. I mean, Philip obviously did. Obviously, I mean, there was something about him, amen. These fellows were Greeks, man. They were on a journey going to worship. It ain't like it came out in the Pittsburgh Press and said, hey, this guy here is Philip with his picture, you know. So they all knew. They walked up to him cold turkey and said, sir, we would see Jesus. They're looking for somebody, amen, that could tell them and show them to Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, you know, if you look like you know him, could you have enough God to introduce him to them to him? Amen. I'm telling you, I got saved, Brother Williams. I was working in the Air Force. I was working in what they called a branch. It was this fabrication branch. And we had the weld shop on the end, sheet metal here, and our machine shop was over here. Hydraulic shop next to us, electric shop down here, parachute shop over here. I got saved, man. First thing I wanted was to tell everybody I knew about it. Hey, listen, nobody said, man, you just got saved. You better go tell somebody. Something in here said, man, that guy needs Jesus too. You better tell him.
Amen.
And I started witnessing everybody. You know what I found? Brother Tim, I found a whole bunch of guys I've been working with that I'm saved. I said, you are? Oh yeah, I'm saved. I said, I just got one question for you. How come you never told me? I just got saved last Saturday. And you never said a word to me. I'd have died and went to hell, man. I've worked with you for 18 months. I've worked with you for 3 years. You ain't never told me nothing about Jesus. You'd have let me die and go to hell knowing Jesus? What kind of God you got? Man. And then I watch them. And man, their lives stunk, man. Working with them every day, you get to see them. And their testimony was lousy. That's probably why they didn't tell me about Jesus.
That's right, brother.
That's right. Because they had a lousy testimony. Man, you know, if you got to offer them candy and soda pop, and drag them along just to get a chance to talk to them. Now, I'm not against people that do some of that stuff. Go ahead and do it. Whatever you want to do. Do something. But get them in if you got to. But man, you ought to have enough God in you to tell them out there before you bring them in.
That's right.
Meet them on the street, man, and talk to them about Jesus. How many times you get in a crowd of people and all of a sudden just stop and think, man, there goes a whole crowd of folks that probably don't know Jesus. They probably don't know my God. Hey man, boy, let that grip into you one time. Man, I've done that. I've been preaching in places. They tell me, you can't do that. Too late, I already did. I got in a crowd, man, in an airport in China. And man, I said, God, all these people are going to hell. And I started preaching. Next thing I know, I got a guard standing here, a guard standing here. His AK-47 is pointing that way. His AK-47 is pointing that way. I looked at it as this. God sent me two guards so I could do what God sent me to do. And I finished preaching, amen. Thanked them and walked away. Amen. Why? Because they needed Jesus. Amen. I was trying to get them to. I mean, man, I remember one fella. We're standing on a porch. And I'm dealing with him, you know, trying to get him to Christ. He's kind of over here mumbling away, you know, over on my right hand. He's mumbling away. He leaned over the railing. He's mumbling away. And I said, man, what I'm trying to tell you is, man, just call out to God. He said, that's what I'm trying to do.
Come on.
I said, go ahead, excuse me. Amen. He got saved. Amen. And brother, he went inside. His mama was sitting there. He said, Mom, man, nobody, I just said a word to him. He cried out to God here. He walked by me, went in the house. I followed him in the house. He went in the house, got in, and said, Mama, 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 I just got saved. You need to get saved too.
Amen.
She said, now, son, I've told you once, I've told you 100 times, you can't know you're saved till you're in the grave. He said, Mama, I know. It happened to me right there on the porch. You need to get saved.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
I think pretty easy knowing somebody gets saved and they want somebody else to get too. Amen. I mean, brother, these folks are there and they're looking for somebody to tell them about Jesus. And they look at Philip and they figure he's got something to do with it. They figure he at least looks like he's been with Jesus. Maybe he's like over there in Acts where they took note of them that they'd been with Jesus, you know. I don't know how it was, but brother, listen. They didn't need no soda pop. They didn't need no candy. They didn't need no dollar bill. They didn't even need a $100 bill, brother. They was going to Jesus. Get me there. Amen. Thing that flipped me out is how Jesus responded. He goes on telling about the corn of wheat. He ain't saying nothing about it. Because what'd Philip do? Philip's kind of dumbfounded. He said, I'm going to go tell Andrew, you know. And Andrew, let's go talk to Jesus.
You don't even find them bringing these guys along. But they're getting to Jesus. Obviously, these guys are following them. And they get there, and the Lord doesn't look at them and say, well, you know, I'm here. This is me. I came to save you. Would you like to get saved? Why? I thought about that. Lord, that's kind of strange to me. You know what? He knew they really weren't all that interested in him. You know what was going on in that day? Jesus was the buzz.
Amen.
He kept the newsreels flashing.
Amen.
Man, this fellow healed some people over here. And this lame man, he got up and walked. This fellow over here, he went into the pool of Bethesda, man. Hey, man, he's all right now. Hey, listen, Jesus, he did this, he did that. He gave this blind man sight, man. Hey, he was the buzz.
Amen.
A lot of folks, man, when the news is buzzing, they want to go see what the buzz is on.
Right.
They want to check it out. And obviously, the Lord knew their heart because he didn't give a straight answer.
That's right.
He didn't come back and answer them directly for their question.
That's right.
He said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. Look there with me in verse 24, I believe it is. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Period. You know what that told me? They're looking for honor. They're looking for Jesus to do some big thing for them. Now, I know some of us need some big things. Amen. But what lengths are you going to get it? See? If all you're looking for is a name, good luck. I don't even like to use that term, but good luck. Amen. But if you're looking to serve God, listen, if you're looking for the greatest life you could ever live.
Amen.
Young people, I'm telling you, man, it beats anything this world has ever had to offer in all of history. In all of time, from the beginning till the end, there's nothing so great as a life given to serve Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
I've never, ever, ever 1 second, amen, 1 millisecond, 1 split second, amen, 1 country second. I've never had a moment where I thought, boy, I wish I had to give Jesus my life.
Amen.
Not one. But I'll tell you what I've had a whole lot of times where I get driving down the road or walking down somewhere, amen, or I'll be, amen, in a church service, or I'll be somewhere, and all of a sudden, man, the Holy Ghost just gets all over me, and I can't help myself. I'm liable to start squalling, amen, shouting, crying. Amen. I had it today, man. Brother, I wanted to go get that flag and take off and lead the parade. But I was afraid. I said, man, I can't carry this thing and that flag. If I drop this cane, amen, and I start carrying that flag, next thing I know I'm going to fall, and then I'm going to get that flag muddy. And I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Don't mention it.
I should have tag teamed one of them, huh? Amen. Where's the next generation when it comes to getting excited for God?
Amen.
I mean, brother, have you got anything in you? I mean, do you get excited about anything?
Come on.
I was with a fellow one time, I forget where it was, down around Philadelphia, I think. I was down in there, and anyways, I was preaching this meeting, and I got to preaching about things you get excited about and giving your life to Christ, you know, and shouting for God and all that. And this young boy said, well, he said, I just don't get excited too much. It just happened to be baseball season. Y'all know what I'm about to say, don't you? I said, how about them Phillies? Oh, man. And he rattled me off every one of them, batting average, the pitcher's ERA. He got about halfway through that thing and hit it. Oh, I see what you're talking about. I said, yeah, you can get real excited about some yo-yo hitting a piece of leather with a ball bat and driving it 400 feet and running around a bunch of bases and coming home and sliding in when he ain't got a slide. Amen. And you got, and yahoo! But Jesus saved me.
Oh, well, yeah, I got saved.
Yeah.
You know, God saved my daddy? No, well, yeah. God saved my mom? Yeah. God saved my wife? Yeah. God saved my children? I'm like that old fellow down south way years ago, man. The preacher was worried about it because he's a shouter. But then he shouted about everything. I mean, he'd take up off and he'd shout.
Right.
Some folks at church got to complaining about his shout and said he was too loud. Listen, I had a lady one time grab her ear like this and run out. I was sitting behind her God just got all over me and I was shouting up, you know. And she said I broke her eardrum. I didn't break it. Hey man, she hurt me well after that. But okay. So when I'm sitting behind old people sometimes, I tone it down just a little bit. I don't want to break nobody's eardrum. But that old boy was out there and he was plowing with a mule. Had a couple of them there. And the preacher had a real burden, you know, he loved this fella and he loved them ladies and he loved that fella, that other man and stuff. He said, I gotta go say something to old Brother Jones. He went out there and he said, caught him in the field there and he said, Brother Jones, he said, I got to talk to you about something. He said, it just burdens me to have to say this to you. He said, I love you and the Lord, you're a great brother. He said, but folks, I just gonna be honest with you, folks is getting a little upset about all your shouting. He said, well, preacher, he said, it's a little bit like this. He said, I gets to thinking how the Lord saved my old wicked soul.
Yeah.
And then I gets to thinking how the Lord saved my wife's old wicked soul. And I gets to thinking how the Lord saved my marriage. And if it hadn't saved my marriage, I wouldn't have my children. He said, I get to thinking about all them children. I get to thinking about now, every one of them done been saved. He said, I'm telling you, preacher. He said, I hold my mule. I just got to shout. Amen.
Amen.
What do you get excited about? See? Bible says there, well, turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark 5, verse 25. Y'all know the story here. Jairus has had his little daughter. She's lying at the point of death. In verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things and many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press, that's the whole group of people, pressed around him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Have you ever felt in your body that you got saved?
Amen.
Well, he saved my soul. Something needs to tell your body.
Right.
Amen. Why? Because, amen, you live in that thing. And that thing is your testimony. Amen. That's who they look at out there. Is how this thing behaves.
That's right.
And man, if this thing goes flip-flop over Jesus Christ, amen, goes crazy every time, amen, somebody starts talking about it and gets excited about it, they'll know what you got is real.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen, it's touched 6 generations of my family now. I was the first. And it went 2 generations that way, and it's gone the other 3 that way. And I was in the middle. Amen. Say why? Because everybody figured out finally that what daddy got was real. What my boy got was real. What my grandson got was real.
Amen.
I'm just using me because I'm the only illustration I know. I'm telling you it works. Amen. What'd she do? She felt in her body. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. Have you touched Jesus enough to take some virtue out of him? Say, where'd that virtue go? Into that woman.
Yeah.
Amen. You ever had a transfer of virtue?
from him to you?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, I got saved. Blankety blankety blue blue. Did you? See? Have you had a transfer of virtue? That's what happened to that woman. It got transferred. Look at Luke chapter 9. Look at verse 23. Luke 9:23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, and that's what he just got through saying to those fellas over there in John. But look at here. Luke's account, he says this. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Ouch. We like to pamper ourselves, don't we?
That's right.
We think we're pretty good. Well, in the immortal words of Brother Don Green, you're wicked, wicked, wicked! Amen. This flesh is wicked. Deny himself. Well, you know, I fasted 30 minutes. I did a big fast last week. I went all morning. You know, I've cut some stuff out. Well, let's read on. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And look at his next phrase. And take up his cross daily.
Amen.
Daily. And follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Over there is it Colossians, I forget. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. See, when you lose your life, you get his life. See, he gave his life for yours. And he's asking for your life in return.
Amen. Amen.
You get his life.
That's right, brother.
When Christ, who is our life, is he your life this morning?
Come on.
This afternoon, this evening, whatever.
That's good, brother.
See, when he's your life, you're gone. And people come up and say, sir, we receive Jesus. Why? Because they can see Jesus in you. Hebrews 12:14 said, follow peace with all men and holiness. See, there's a price to pay. Without which no man shall see God. You want to see God? You want to see Jesus? Heard a fellow one time, he said, I'll send you there real quick. You can see him. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about seeing him daily. Right here where you live. Right where the rubber meets the road. Right where the neighbors see you. And the folks down at the grocery store see you. And everybody around knows you as the man of God. Who was it? Somebody said that this morning. They knew who the man of God was in town. Preacher said that. Right? See, you can be a man of God and not even be a preacher. If you'll just be God's man.
Right.
Or God's woman. God's lady. Amen. Lastly, I'll be done in another hour. No, I'm kidding. Philippians chapter 3. This is our great Apostle Paul. And here's what he had to say. Verse 10 of Philippians chapter 3. He said that I may know him. He wasn't talking about just a salvation experience. He's already saved when he penned that.
Amen.
He's talking about knowing him in a real way on a daily basis. And he goes on and he says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know what you have to do to know the power of the resurrection?
They said, "Deep now, you got to die." What did Jesus say? Take up the cross daily. You know what happens on the cross? People die. Amen. And he said this, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, but if I do that, God's going to make me, God's going to make you do what? God don't make you do nothing. You do exactly what you want to do. God brings, allows things to come into our life, but how do you respond? The way he would like you to respond, or the way you just naturally respond? So I caught something, I think Brother Williams said about that, that's just the natural flesh, man. That's just the way it is. That's the way that thing operates, the way it acts. Yeah. See, we're not supposed to act that way. How do you know? Because I do it a lot, man. I have to go home and go, God, forgive me for being so stupid. Paul wanted that power. To get that power, he had to die. Another place he said, I die daily. And the fellowship of his sufferings. You read 2 Corinthians 12, you see a little bit about Paul's sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. You know what you are when you have the life of Christ in you, and he is your life? You're a walking dead man. A walking dead man. Everybody sees you walking, but you're dead. You're dead to you. You're dead to this world. And I'm telling you, it's a hard thing. I've been at this thing 40 years. It's a hard thing to do. I'm just now starting to see things after 40 years of battling. I said, thank you, Lord. I've been trying to get to heaven 40 years. I finally got some. Just a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Every little victory helps build a bigger one. You see, it's about a relationship. You know, when you have a relationship, you know, Brother Tim and I, we got a relationship. Brother Pastor John and I, we got a relationship. Brother William and I, we've known each other for, since Moses was a pup, I think. You know what we got? We got common likes. We like a lot of the same stuff. He likes the book, I like the book. He likes preaching, I like preaching. Common likes. You know what you also got? Some common dislikes. How's your dislike line up with Jesus today? You know what he dislikes? He dislikes sin, I know that. He dislikes evil. He dislikes, amen, carnality. He dislikes, man, does it bother you when you get carnal? You do something just so stupid you like to kick your own self? Man. See, it's a relationship. You know, he died for you, and then the reasonable thing is to die and replace it. Amen. Now, aren't you glad he didn't say go out and shoot yourself? Or slit your wrist? Or you know, beat yourself over the head with a ball peen hammer? Or have somebody else do it for you? All he's asking you to do, and me, all he's asking us to do is die to us. Die to this world. And let them see a walking dead man. Die to what they're doing. Man, you know, you find folks, man, they're saved. They want to go to every place they used to go. They want to listen to the same garbage music. Amen. They want to listen to all that, I'm telling you, man, stuff. It just, ought not go in the ears. They want to act like them, smell like them, dress like them, walk like them, talk like them, amen, everything. How's your relationship? One thing I notice when somebody's relationship right, they start covering up. Listen. Amen. They ain't out there trying to show it off their buddy.
That's right, man.
You know those fellas, man, they got their big old tattoos in the ship when they were young, and now the ship sunk, you know? Amen.
Brother, there ain't nothing to show off. Who wants to see an old fat man running around? Amen. Cover it up, amen. Somebody gets saved, man. Jesus likes it when you're covered up. Take a look at his bride and tell me what she's dressed like.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Covered up, amen.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't like somebody telling me what to put on. I didn't tell you to put it on. I just said cover it up, man. I don't care if you wrap one of them big sheets around it over there. Cover it up, amen. I don't need to see it. Hey, I'm talking about in the church too. Praise God, ain't so bad here. But I'm telling you, I've been some places, amen, that where Brother Dr. Eastep used to say, why do I have to get raped in church? Because women coming in with nothing on. That wasn't in my notes. I'm telling you, you relationship right with him, you like the things he likes. You dislike the things he dislikes. Amen. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ that can only be made when we die. Sir, we would see Jesus. Father, thank you for the privilege and opportunity. I pray you'd use it and bless it. Sure is good, Lord, to know you and these precious folks, Lord. I pray we said something to be a help and a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If I could, let's not have anybody leave for a moment. I'm going to dismiss, very short-term dismissal. A temporary restroom, water, cool air break. We'll return from that. But let's not do that. We'll take an offering from Cliff Taylor. We talked about that this morning. As we heard, Cliff Taylor was down and out for quite a few months. And the Lord has, of course, restored him. Bring him back on the road. Listen, they invested.